is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
A question of loving.
Ryan!
What?
Call the kid over here a second.
Who, Alan?
Okay. Alan!
Yes?
Keith, what's that?
This minute?
Yes, your clock coming over. What is it, Keith? About tonight?
Yeah, that's right. But be careful. Pretend we're just watching those kids over there. Here, come here, Alan.
Yes, Keith?
We'll check over the plan of action. Can't afford to slip up anywhere.
Look, before you start, you're dead sure the old man goes for his drink bang on nine every evening? I mean, how do you know?
Think I haven't done my homework? I know, all right.
He does, really does. My stepmother says they used to put their watches by him at the Bull. Father used to say, here comes old quarter, must be 9 o'clock. And she should know. After all,
okay, okay, that's enough from you. Now then, let's run over the plan of the operation. Ready?
Yes.
We don't all leave the calf together. We meet casually at the end of the street and then stroll down to Quarter's shop. Clear?
Yes.
Then, if there's no one around, we go down the area steps. Brian, you shove up the window and I'll give Alan a boost and heave him through.
It's a jolly small window, though.
Ah, that's why we picked on you to go through. He's got his torcher. You've got your torch, haven't you?
Yes, Keith. It's an absolutely smashing one. It's huge. It's got a beam.
He shines it on the chest where the old boy keeps his stamps. Picks out the second drawer from the top. You've got that.
Yes, Keith, yes.
Mind you have, then. All the stamps worth any real money are in that drawer. 5 packets of them. So no bungling, right?
No, Keith.
He opens the drawer, takes out the packets, makes sure where the bits of furniture are, so he don't go blunder into a whole lot of stuff and bring the china down, switches off the torch, comes to the window, hands me the stamps, then climbs through, and that's it.
And we go off separately?
Yes, of course. First me to the right, then you to the left. Then the kid follows you when you're 50 yards down the lane. Any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Keith?
Yeah?
Do I really have to go through with this? Well, if my father...
He's right, Keith. It isn't as if any of us wants the blasted stamps. We're none of us collectors. What are you making him do it for?
Kicks, that's what. Of course, if the kid's chicken, we'll drop the whole idea. But just don't let him ever come toadying to me again, that's all.
I'm sorry, Keith. I'm not chicken. Honestly, I'm not.
Scrub it. Here. We better break it up. We don't want to be seen together anymore today. And I'm supposed to be practicing at the nets anyway. Till tonight at the calf then. And see to it that you're on time.
You look tired, John. Had a bad day?
Not especially, dear. Just the usual school routine, plus a bit of extra. You know, the kind that always builds up towards the end of a summer term. I'll feel fine after tea.
You should make the other masters take over more of the work.
I can't, you know. There are certain things the head just has to do himself.
Are you sure you've nothing on your mind?
Well...
I knew you had.
I must confess, I'm a bit worried about Alan.
About Alan? Why, what's bothering you?
I had a talk with his form master today. I've been thinking... Frankly, darling, we've got to find some way, some mutual way to treat him.
You mean you don't think... John, I'm getting on with him so beautifully. Well, aren't I?
You do spoil him, rather, you know.
But can't you understand? It's because I'm only his stepmother that I feel I have to show him a sort of special affection to reassure him, don't you see? And he so needs affection.
Darling, he needs guidance. That's what he needs.
Well, I'm sorry if you think I'm bad for him. I consider he needs a bit of fun after the rotten life he's had up to now with that sister of yours. That's why I encourage him to enjoy himself. What's wrong with his meeting his friends out of school?
Friends? If you only knew the types he admires and tries to imitate.
Oh, boys, they're natural pushovers for anyone who defies authority. I know very well the sort Alan likes. He's a bit young for his age, perhaps, but he'll grow up, John. Or whatever you do, you mustn't frighten him. After all, he is your own son, even if you haven't seen much of him all these years.
My son or not, he still needs discipline if he's going to turn out any good in life.
In my opinion, you're very hard on him. He's just a boy. What's 14?
Old enough to have some sense of values.
Shh. Here he comes. Yeah. Hello, Alan, dear. Ready for your tea?
Not off.
Put your books on the desk, then, and sit right down. I've done you some baked eggs.
Oh, good. Oh, thanks.
Did you bring home your mass prep tonight, Alan?
Sorry, Dad. I forgot.
I told you I'd give you a hand with it. You didn't remember that?
Well, actually, I was going to the pictures. I mean, Mum gave me the money this morning because I said I wanted to see the film at the Roxy. It's an historical one.
I did give him the money, John. It's quite true.
Oh, can I go, Dad? I brought my French prep back. I'll do that. I can. There isn't much. Honest, I'll get it done.
Oh, perhaps if your father...
Oh, go on, Mum. Tell him it's a film I ought to see. You said you would.
If your mother thinks so, that's enough. Hurry up with your tea and show me your prep before you go out. If I'm not satisfied it's properly finished, you'll simply have to miss the beginning of the program. You understand?
Yes, Dad. Mm. Oh, these eggs are hot.
Put a dab of butter on them.
Who are you going out with tonight?
Just some of the kids from our form.
Only from your form?
Yes, why?
Not, for example, Keith Harris.
Keith? I know, Dad. Why, he's in the upper fifth. What would he want to come out with us lot for?
All right, then. Get on with your tea.
Can I take it into my room, Mum? I could start it in French while I'm eating.
Yes, I don't see why not. You can put it all on that tray.
Okay, this will do me. Thanks, Mum. See you.
I'll shut the door for you.
Lillian.
Oh, what could we do? I'll make sure it can't happen another time.
You've promised that before. By the way, I meant what I said about keeping him here until his prep's done.
Oh, yes, all right.
Don't let him put us into this position again. He's not a fool. It hasn't taken him long to learn how to play his hand very neatly.
Oh, I don't suppose he realizes what he's doing.
Doesn't realize. He may not be exactly up in his history of military tactics, but the old game of divide and rule comes to him naturally without any need to mug it up from textbooks.
Kid's late. You think he's not coming?
Don't make me laugh.
How can you be so sure?
Honestly, Bri, you're just dim. That kid will do anything I tell him. Haven't you noticed? He's one of those little squits always waiting for someone to push him around.
Yeah, and you're the big pusher.
Yeah, well, why not then? He'll do anything to beat one of our lot. And boy, do I get a kick out of making him do dirty jobs for us.
Do you think it's safe? I mean, it seems a bit dangerous with his father being head.
Forget school, can't you? Anyway, having the old man's kid do just what I say is one of the things that makes it fun, see? You, come here when you call, you little... You little squirt. Do this, do that. Oh, it's a great sensation that makes you feel good.
There must be something wrong with me. I never feel that.
Hello. Look who's here.
Hello, Gloria.
Hello, Bram. Well, Keith, you're a right one. I've been sitting over there with Carol since you came in and never even looked at us.
I'm busy.
I'll blow that. We'd a date here for ages to get.
Look, kid. Brian and me are busy. But we'll be back later. How's that?
Rotten.
I like you when you suck. You look like Bardow. Oh, say, you got a new hairdo. Smashing.
Mm-hmm. My mum threw a fit when she saw it. Says it's common.
Yeah, you don't want to take any notice of that. Tell her your boyfriend likes it, and that's good enough for you.
She'll never dare walk into school with it tomorrow. You won't, Gloria.
Who says I mean to? And he did it for tonight.
For me, eh?
Could be. Yeah. What are you up to?
Brian and me have promised to go and listen to some discs.
Take us.
Strictly no birds.
Huh.
Don't you believe me?
Believe you? You'd be funny. You'd say anything, Keith Harris.
You wouldn't like it where we're going, Cookie. We'll be back soon, okay?
I suppose so.
That's the girl.
Will you hang around, Kel?
I might. Depends.
What on?
Who comes in? Hanging around isn't my style.
Oh, suit yourself.
You'll hang around there, won't you, Gloria? Oh, Bri. Look, he's here. See you later, Gloria.
Hello, Alan. Thought you weren't going to show up.
Well, I said I would. Do you think I'm scared or something?
You look a bit green around the gills, young Alan.
I'm not. It's the light.
Your mummy know you're out.
No, she doesn't. Well, what do you take me for?
Come on, let's go. It's gone 9.
What have you been up to all this time, Alan?
Things I had to do.
Things I had to do. When I say on time, I mean on time. And not half an hour after. Better learn to be punctual, kid, or I'll have to drop you. Now then, we'll all have to go out together.
Sorry, Keith.
Ah, come on, come on.
Leaving?
Yes.
We'll come out with you, me and Carol.
We're not taking you along, and that's flat.
I only said we come out with you. We don't want to go wherever it is you're going, do we, Carol?
No. We're going to Teddy Mayhew's house. He asked us.
You'll be back here at 10, Gloria.
Ah, ma. Can't say yet.
You will, though, won't you?
Perhaps.
Be seeing you then. Ryan, you fool. Sorry, stand back, Alan. Let me get at the window. I hope the old boy hasn't had the catch fix. Oh, stop nattering, can't you? Shove that bleeding window up. Oh, not in of it. Put your foot in my hand. Get a grip of the shield. Okay, right, okay, go.
I can't get through.
I know. Take off your jacket. Drop it down here. Yeah, good work. He's done it. He's through.
Oh, please, let it be all right. Let me get it over with. I'll let it be all right.
Why, you young devil, you. Here. Come on.
Let me go. Let me go. I have to see.
Oh, it's your belt there.
You're hurting. Look at my arm.
Come on in. Oh, your pain.
Keith, help me out. Quick.
What happened?
What's the matter?
He was there. He got out of me.
But what happened?
I bashed him.
Oh, you darn little fool. Here, let's get out of this. Come on, Brian, stop us.
But wait for me. But wait for me.
What's going on down there? I am your boy. Stop it around here, I'm with the police. Mary? Mary, where are the police? They're running
in the corner. You darn little fools. What are you following me for?
I lost our ears, I suppose.
I say you did. Now what? You heard what that woman shouted? Call the police.
We better scatter.
You shouldn't have made me do it. You shouldn't have made me.
Oh, shut up, you rotten, snivelling little rat. I told you to crack the old man on the head, not me.
Alan, is he I mean, did you see him move?
No.
Blimey. Suppose he's
That woman couldn't have recognized us. It was too dark in the street. And we've left no fingerprints. But old Corder must have recognized you, all right, Alan. Couldn't have helped it.
No, he didn't. I swear he didn't.
Well, maybe we're in the clear then.
Yes.
Now, your jacket. In the area. You left it in the area.
Oh, that's done it. Go back and get it, Alan. Go on.
What, and meet the police?
I don't go back. I don't. Suppose Corder's dead.
Well, then. If he is, it's nothing to do with Brian and me. You darn well go back and get your jacket.
Oh, Brian, what shall I do?
That's what you'll do. Brian and me can't risk that jacket being found. Now, why? You'll make up before the constables get there if you run.
I'm frightened. What if I kill you?
Oh, shut up, will you? You get it back if you know what's good for you.
I don't, Keith, poor kid. How would you feel? We can't just leave Corder. It is Newman.
Oh, stop that.
Keith, listen. Who's likes my jacket? It might be anybody's.
I accept your name, Talbot, inside, you fool.
I'll cut it out before we went.
Oh, so you did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll tell you this much. Since you're so blasted clever, you can't rely on Brian and me if there's trouble. Because we've got an alibi. A cast iron alibi.
What?
Whatever it is, it's none of your business. But we never saw you tonight, you get that? Never met you. Never saw you and don't know anything about you.
That's a dirty...
And there's nobody going to prove that we did. Come on, Brian. Back to the cab, I'll explain.
But, Keith...
No, listen, kid. If Brian and me get involved in this in any way, that means that someone has talked out of turn. And there's a way of dealing with them... Boy, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes, Alan, if any of this leaks out. So you better be true. You cut that name tab off your jacket.
Come, O'Brien.
Well, we simply can't leave.
Get moving.
Nice chaps like us can't be seen around with these young delinquents.
I'm washing.
Why are you so late?
It's only about 10.
Well, you might have been home in good time tonight. I warned you.
I didn't think you'd hear me come in.
Well, I did. Here, move over.
Don't, Mum. Put the light out.
Great Scott, what a mess you're in. Have you been fighting?
I'm all right, Mum. I'll tell you I'm all right.
But your shirt's torn and your knees cut and your hands are absolutely black. Where have you been? Can't you answer?
Don't keep on at me. I'm okay. Just let me get to my room.
But you must tell me what's been going on. Well, where's your jacket? You didn't leave it at the pictures, did you?
Mum.
All right, don't look so desperate. Wherever it is, surely you can pick it up tomorrow.
You don't understand.
Well, that's a fact. Now, come along, out with it. What's happened?
Let me get to bed. Just let me get to bed, that's all. That'll be up in a minute.
No, he won't. He's dead tired. Anyway, he thinks I'm making cocoa. Hey, steady, boy, steady. You're not going to faint, are you? So sit down. I'll get you a drink of water. Here you are. Better? Now, what's happened? Tell me.
I can't.
If it's something bad, you'll need help. Alan? What are you so frightened of? Whatever you've done, I swear I'll stand up for you. Now, what is it?
Nothing. I was in a fight, like you said.
Well, that's all. A fight's no tragedy. Every boy fights now and then.
Don't tell Dad.
Oh, I won't. But what about your jacket? Is it far away?
What am I going to do? I don't know what to do.
So it wasn't just a fight after all. Listen, dear. Whatever you've been up to, I've given you my word I'll help you. Now tell me, are you in trouble?
I don't know.
Your jacket, where is it? Oh, come on. Your father will start wondering if you take too long. All right. If you don't want me to help you, I won't. But you'll be sorry in the morning.
Mum, please.
Now, where's the jacket?
At old Corder's.
But Tom Corder's? Why?
It wasn't my idea. Honestly, it wasn't. Two of the other boys made me.
Made you what?
We broke into his basement and he caught me. I was so sure he was in the bulls.
But Alan!
Mama, I hit him. I hit him with my torch.
Oh, good heavens. Is he...
I don't know.
But you must...
I don't. He didn't make any noise. I got out of the window, but I forgot my jacket. It's in the area. My name's in it. What'll they do to me?
Did Cordy recognize you?
He must have, because he put on a light. What's the difference? I see my name in my jacket. I never meant to hurt him, Mama. I like him.
Be quiet now. I'm going to telephone his house.
Dad will hear you.
No, he won't hear it in the bedroom. We've got to find out if Cordy's all right.
Talk to you now. The police are coming just because they were going to have a word with me.
Please, Cordy, don't let them charge him. Don't. Have you told them anything yet?
No.
Oh, Cordy, please.
Now, don't get hysterical. Can you tell me exactly why I shouldn't?
I can't explain to you now, not in a few seconds, but promise.
Why?
To help me, Cordy. It's me you'd be helping.
You, eh?
Well, as my friend and my father's friend, please.
Well, I ought not to, you know.
But you will, won't you?
I don't understand you. Or I'll say nothing. Heaven knows why.
Oh, Cordy. Bless you. Oh, and you aren't badly hurt, are you?
Oh, thanks for asking.
I was so frightened.
So you should have been here. I must ring off now. Good night. Night. Ah. Well, Constable. What can I do for you?
It's more what I can do for you, Mr. Corder.
Nothing that I know of.
We had a call from Mrs. Peters here, or rather from Miss Mary Collins.
Oh, yes, Miss Mary Collins. It's your lodger, isn't it, Mrs. Peters?
My paying guest.
Oh. And would Miss Collins be short of material for tomorrow's newspaper by any chance? We all know journalists get hard put to it sometimes just for a bit of news.
Oh, let's have this regular and in order, if you please. Miss Collins was asked by Mrs. Peters to telephone the station subsequent to having seen three boys running from your area's depths, and you getting up from the floor of your shop with your hands pressed to your head.
Mrs. Peters looks too much at her telly.
Well,
did you or did you not suffer any kind of attack, sir?
I've not preferred any charges against anyone, Constable, so it's unlikely, isn't it?
Well, that's a nasty bump you've got on your head there, sir, if you don't mind my saying so.
Not at all, Constable. I banged myself. But it's getting a bit late, isn't it?
Oh, I'll say good night then, sir.
Good night to you, Constable. Thanks for calling, eh?
Good night, Mrs. Peters.
Time. You're getting along home too, Mrs. Peters. That lodger of yours will be waiting up.
She's at her office, Mary is. She's got some sense of her civic duties, even if you haven't, Mr. Calder.
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear so well of her.
What's got into you? I saw those boys as plain as plain, and I looked straight down into your window.
Ah, snoopy, eh?
What's that bump on your head, then, may I ask?
You may ask. I'm not accountable to you in any way. You must know I knocked mate against the corner of that cabinet there.
Oh, you did you? Funny. I should have thought after all these years you'd have known your way around your own basement.
This is a shop, Mrs. Peters. The stuff gets moved about from time to time.
Oh, well. I know when I'm being told to mind my own business, I was just doing my duty as a neighbour, that's all. Don't forget, it's only 10 days since that gang of young Teds broke into Miss Harrison's bicycle shop. The police asked us to keep our eyes open.
You did as they asked. They're very praiseworthy.
All right, I'm going. It's a pity some people don't know the meaning of gratitude, that's all. Have a cup of coffee, John?
No, thanks, dear. I finished. What's the matter with you this morning, Alan? You've hardly eaten any breakfast.
I'm not hungry.
He had a nosebleed last night, I told you, remember?
Oh, yes. If your nose takes to bleeding, we must consult Dr. Anson.
I'm perfectly okay, Dad.
Oh, good. Let me know if it happens again, though. Hand me my pipe and spectacles off the mantelpiece, will you?
This pipe?
Yes, that's the one. And the matches. Yeah, thanks. Oh, and the morning paper. I say, why are you wearing your best jacket? Where's your school one?
Won't you be late, John, if you start on the paper now?
No, it's Friday. Cobham always takes prayers for me on Fridays, don't you remember? I didn't get in till 10. I see they mean to demolish those 7 cottages below the corn market at last.
Oh, what a shame. They've got such pretty little front gardens. I always like walking past them.
No, but they're full of dry rot, you know.
Are they really?
Yes. And what's this? Escape of local antique dealer. Why, it's Tom Corder. An attempted burglary seems to have been interrupted last night when a neighbour, chancing to look from her window, saw 3 boys climbing out of the basement of Mr. Corder's antique shop, 21 Bull Street. She told our correspondent that they appeared to be little more than schoolboys and that the smallest one was without his jacket. Mr. Corder, when questioned by the police, denied all knowledge of an attempted robbery.
I've got to go now.
Alan! Dear, oh dear, what's the matter with him?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, well, perhaps he's afraid of being late for school.
He went quite white. Lillian, where's Alan's school jacket?
I took it to the cleaners.
Which cleaners?
The speedy cleaners, you know, in the station road.
Mm-hmm, yes. Can I see the ticket, please?
The ticket?
Show me the ticket, please, Lillian.
Oh, John, as though I know where it is. All this fuss about a cleaner's ticket. Oh, let me have your plate and cup, will you? I must get the things washed up.
You aren't very sharp, are you? Doesn't it occur to you that the boy was wearing that coat last night and that I know he was?
What about it?
Don't pretend not to know what I'm talking about. Why hasn't he got his jacket?
You're not thinking that Alan was one of those boys.
I'm not thinking anything. Where is it?
All right, it isn't at the cleaners. No. He tore it in the fight. I didn't tell you because I thought you'd be angry.
Alan never fights. Come here. Look at me. No, look at me. Those boys in the paper. Was Alan one of them?
He'll never trust me again.
Was he the one without his jacket? What are you trying so hard to protect him from?
Principally from you punishing him.
But, Lillian, you speak as though you expect me to be, as a matter of course, unjust to the boy. Now, look, I want the whole story. I take it he was involved last night and he left his jacket behind at quarters.
They didn't steal anything.
And the jacket is still there?
I suppose so. I forgot to ask.
Ask?
Oh, I rang Cordy up last night.
I see. So that's why he denied all knowledge of any attempt at a robbery. Because he's your godfather and you played on his affection.
Yes.
Lillian. Lillian, you terrify me. My boy is a potential robber and you cover up for him.
It wasn't only that. It was worse. I had to ring up. Alan lost his head. He hit Cordy with his torch. He thought it killed him.
Merciful heaven.
Now you see how much better off you'd have been not knowing. What good can you do? Cordy promised me not to tell and he kept his word. If you hadn't forced it out of me, it would all have been forgotten and nobody the worse. John, don't look at me like that. It's over. Alan's had a good lesson and he'll be the better for it. What's the matter with you?
You can ask me that. Don't you realize the enormity you've just said?
Oh, you exaggerate. Nothing actually happened. Cordy got a bump on the head, that's all.
Are you telling me that violence in itself doesn't matter? That it's only the degree that matters? All violence matters.
But I tell you, Cordy wasn't really hurt.
A little more to the right or left, a little more force, and my son would be a murderer.
But he isn't, and that's all that counts.
It's not all that counts. If you can't understand that, then we're at complete odds on the most fundamental of principles.
Oh, I don't know what you mean.
Lillian, you seem incapable of grasping that to overlook this attempt would be the same as condoning it. It's the boys, their characters, their futures that matter. I owe it to their futures to teach them discipline now.
I can't think about things like that. But what are you going to do?
I have to decide what I shall do. One thing I can assure you, I shan't let this pass. Who were the other boys? Did Alan tell you?
No.
I can make a fair guess.
No, but it's all hushed up. You can't mean to make it public knowledge. Do you realize what it could mean to you if the story gets round the town?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, even if you don't care about protecting your own son, you might think what it would mean to you to have him mixed up in this sort of thing.
But what sort of a man do you think you've married? A man with absolutely no conscience? I'm a headmaster. You don't become a headmaster if you haven't any conscience, if you don't believe that children's welfare is more important than your own position. If I chose to shut my eyes now, I wouldn't be fit to be a master at all. I wouldn't be fit to be a father.
Oh, I don't care what you say. No decent father would risk his boy's reputation and his own job for a lot of stupid notions.
You think my stupid notions, as you call them, should be set aside so that my son should escape punishment?
It's your business to see to it that he gets a better deal than anybody else's son. That's your business.
Believe it or not, it's the child's own good I'm considering.
Considering? Oh, you're all wrapped up in ideas. How much do you consider me, I'd like to know? This is my hometown, remember? Oh, what do you imagine it's going to be like for me if you insist on making a scandal? People said enough things when I married you, wondering how the daughter of a local hotel keeper was going to make out, married to a prig of a schoolmaster.
Please.
But I thought I could make a go of it, and I can if you're suffering so highfalutin and behave like anybody else.
Lillian, stop!
And then there's another point that doesn't seem to bother you. What about Cordy?
Cordy will have to be responsible for his own actions.
He simply tried to be decent, and you mean to let him down.
If he did what was decent, then he'll come well out of any inquiry, won't he? You always say you're so fond of the old man. Did you think very much about the position you were putting him in when you telephoned last night?
He's really fond of me, Cordy is. He doesn't calculate. He'd stick by me, whatever I'd done. A man like Cordy puts friendship first, even if I'd committed a...
Well?
I'm only saying he's a loyal friend, and now you're going to get him into trouble. Oh, John, please, please don't do anything at all. Just let the matter drop. I'll give Alan a talking to, but let the matter drop.
And the other boys, will you give them a talking to as well?
They're not my concern.
They're mine, though.
But you still speak as though they were just as important as your own boy. They can go to breeders for all I care. Where are you going, John?
I'm going out.
Why? You don't have to be in school till 10. You said so.
I have to think. I must make up my mind how best to tackle this.
Alan, you're a bit far from your classroom, aren't you? Anything up?
I came to find you, Brian.
Yeah, you look a bit off. You get your jacket back, all right?
It isn't about that, Brian. I'm worried. Seen this morning's paper?
No.
I bought one. Look there.
Whoa.
Still, the old chap's okay, praise be.
My father's seen it, Bri. You read it out at breakfast.
Yeah, tell me straight. You didn't blurt anything out, did you?
Of course not. But suppose he kisses.
Well, how could he? There's hundreds of boys in the town. Why should it be us? You didn't tell your stepmother?
Cross my heart.
Then what the heck?
It's Keith.
Keith? What do you mean, Keith?
You heard him say you'd do me if anything leaked out.
Well, nothing's leaked out. Only this.
Brian.
Ah, you silly little clot. Stop sniffling. You don't want to be afraid of old Keith. He just talks big, that's all. Here, let's have another deco. Funny. The old man's denying the old thing. Wonder what made him do that?
I don't know.
Well, so much the better for us anyway. Not to worry. Get along, kid. You've got to be late for class. Trust me to smooth old Keith down. You'll be okay. So long.
So long.
Morning, Mr. Corder.
Who's that?
Me, Cordy. Lillian Mason.
How it is it? I thought I'd be here for you this morning. Better come in here, then.
Cordy! You're here!
Yeah. Pretty, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know what to say to you.
A very nice way for the gentlemanly young stepson of yours to behave.
Oh, it was terrible.
Come to that, I've been wondering what made the young thug tell you all about it.
I heard him get in. I dragged it out of him. Oh, he was terrified.
It's coming to something when an old wang like me nearly killed in his own shop by a murdering schoolboy.
He lost his head, Cole. He didn't mean to hurt you. I swear he didn't. The whole thing wasn't his idea at all. Some other boys forced him to do it.
Forced him? Rubbish.
Oh, you don't know, Alan. He's so weak.
Yeah, I begin to think if I'd used the brains I was born with, I'd have handed him over to the police after all. Seems to be it'd be best for everyone if the little devil got his deserts. You never know where he'll end up otherwise. It's on the gallows at this rate.
Oh, Cordy. It's like this. John keeps on at me that I spoil the boy. Whenever he behaves badly, I always get the blame. I know he'll somehow make out that this is my fault, too, and I can't bear it.
Oh, I begin to see. It's not all beer and skittles being headmaster's wife, eh, girl?
To make things easier for me? Promise me you'll refuse to speak to John about last night, even if he comes and tries to question you. Just say you never saw Alan, and it doesn't matter what he knows, what John knows, I mean. You won't accuse Alan of anything to anybody. Oh, to make things better for me, Cordy.
What about the boy? Do you really think this is the right way to go about the matter for him?
Oh, yes. Oh, please, give him another chance.
Another chance, eh? What, to cost somebody else?
Well, you won't regret it, I swear.
Well, I may not regret it, my dear. But are you quite sure you will?
Oh, don't you start on at me. It's hard enough for me at home.
I take it you and your husband don't see eye to eye about the boy, eh?
Not always. I wouldn't say this to anybody else, but Alan's not exactly easy to love, poor kid. Oh, it's not his fault. It's because he's never really come first with anyone. His mother dying when he was a baby, and then that aunt to look after him. John says it was for the child's own good he left him with his sister, but he neglected him, I say. That's why I'm a bit soft with the kid. I want to give him some real love.
Well. So that's your method, eh? A bit soft with him, eh? Thank goodness I never married and raised a parcel of problem children. If I had, I'd have used a different system. Beaten them 3 times a day and fed them on bread and scrape. No amateur psychology for me. It's a curse of the age.
Cordy, dear. Cordy, you will refuse to discuss last night with John, won't you? It might make all the difference to our lives.
So that's my better judgment. But there, if you really believe it...
Oh, you're an angel. I'll never be able to thank you.
Well, we'll call the subject closed, shall we?
Could I... would you let me have Alan's jacket? He says he left it here.
Yeah, that's right. He's got no wits about him, that boy. Hasn't even got the intelligence to make a good job of a robbery. It's bad. It's very bad, it is. A bit of forethought, you know, and you'd have found out I haven't been going to the Bull since that new chap took over. Oh, really different from your father's day. Appears like water. And then, leaving his jacket in the area. It's lucky for him the constable come in and out through the front door, never clapped eyes on it.
May I get it?
Yes, get it. It's in the dresser cupboard over there. That's right. But you learn a bit of sense, my girl. You're going the wrong way about making a success of your marriage. You take my advice. Learn a bit of sense.
Yes, headmaster. Lillian, what do you want? You know very well I can't speak to you during school hours. All right, what is it? Mm-hmm. Yes, and how do you think getting the jacket back alters the case? Lillian? Now, Lillian, we're at hopeless cross purposes. I'm not going to let it go. Now, there's the bell for break. I must go. I've got to address the school. I can't keep them waiting.
Matter of the very gravest seriousness. It has come to my knowledge that three boys from this school were concerned last night in an attack. I repeat, an attack on a local tradesman. The object of this attack was robbery. I don't mean to go into details, and the police are so far not involved. But nevertheless, this was an attempt at robbery with violence, and I don't have to emphasize the gravity of such a crime. I must tell you that I already know the name of one of the three boys, and I want him and the two others to come to my study before today is over and make a full confession. I shall then take whatever steps I think right and necessary to bring home to them the enormity of their behavior. I shall see to it that they understand where such activities, if unchecked, will lead them. All right, you may go.
Well, Bry, what do you say now?
I don't know.
Well, I do. That ruddy little swine spit on us. He probably tucked you in, didn't he? With his, my father's seen the paper, but I never said a word.
Yes, but you can't be certain.
Ah, come off it. The old man knows, I tell you. Oh, I'd like to break that blasted kid's neck.
What are you going to do?
I can't say yet. First thing is to get hold of the little rat. Where is he?
I don't see him anywhere, do you?
Yeah, of course not. He slipped out with his class. Slipped out pretty smartly, too. Keeping out of our way. Ah, well, but we're in the clear, Bri. We only got to deny everything.
Sure, Gloria will swear that we were with her all the time.
What do you think? She's been stuck on me since she was 14. It was a mistake, though, to take that little runt along.
But you never thought of that before we started, isn't it? Cool, he might have killed the old fella. I'd go cold when I think of the risk. And what for? A lot of stamps we didn't want, couldn't even sell.
Look, Bri, whatever happens, the kid mustn't give us a slip. Now, you hang around the dining room door till lunchtime, and I wait outside his classroom, right?
Right, but no rough stuff.
Alan, what are you doing home at this hour?
I don't feel well.
Have you told your form master?
Mm.
Have you?
No.
But, Alan...
I want to go to bed.
Something happened. What?
Dad spoke at the school in break. Said about last night and how he knew who one of the boys was.
He what? He said before the whole school... I don't believe it.
But he did. And he said we were to go and confess. That's why I ran out. I do feel ill, too.
He did that.
Oh, Mum, you promised you'd help me. You swore it would be all right. But what went wrong? Did Mr. Corder tell him after all?
No. I told him.
You?
Oh, wait, Alan. I couldn't help it.
You told him. You did. But you promised me...
I couldn't avoid it. Listen, Alan. Listen, I...
Oh, won't you? I'll never listen to anything you ever say again.
Alan, you...
You gave me away.
No, I didn't.
You did. Nobody cares what happens to me.
Now, don't say that.
I could be killed and you wouldn't care.
No, stop it. Stop it. You know I love you and want to help you, but...
I hate you. Let me get by.
I do love you, dear. I tried to stand by you, but I simply couldn't prevent your father from guessing because of your jacket. But I've got it back from Corder.
Oh, what's it matter? Nothing matters anymore.
Now, listen, dear. I may manage to smooth things over yet, but you ought to go back to school. It was stupid of you running out like that. Now, go on back. Go along.
Where's the use? Won't make any difference now. Dad knows. Anyway... I can't go back.
Can't?
It's no good trying to explain. I'm ill, Mum. I feel ill. I want to go to bed.
Hiding in your bedroom won't change anything.
Don't tell anyone I'm here. Not anyone, will you? Yeah, of course you will. I forgot.
If your form master rings up, I'll say you aren't well there.
What about that?
I've got a few things to say to your father when he comes home.
Are you angry with him?
That's none of your business. You can go to bed now if you want, but, Alan, I'm not having you in the house when your father gets here.
Mama,
now, don't
please,
start arguing. Go off to bed. But you'll have to be out before he gets back, I'm telling you.
Please.
Go on.
You aren't thinking about me a bit. You're just angry with Dad because he went for you. I know.
Don't you dare to speak to me like that. You can think yourself lucky I don't send you right back to school this minute to take what's coming to you.
It's no good, Keith. We'll just have to go in. It's past four. We'll only make it worse by being late.
We'll wait another couple of minutes. The kid may show up yet. Or do you think his loving daddy's going to let him off with a private caution?
I'm going to knock.
No, don't.
Come in, Harris. Wade, you've been whispering outside the door long enough.
Sorry, sir.
Stand over there. Sir. Now then, I sent for you because I have a few questions to put to you.
Yes, sir.
Where were you yesterday evening?
In the cafe, sir.
The what?
Cafe, sir. The Yellow Moon.
Yes. Both of you?
Yes, sir. Yes.
When were you there?
We got in about 8:30, sir.
Who was in the cafe?
Lots of people, sir.
And who were you with particularly?
A couple of girls, sir.
I see. Their names?
Gloria Iggs, sir.
And Carol Royds.
Mm-hmm. And what time did you leave?
I didn't look at my watch, sir.
Roughly when?
Say, 9:30, eh, boy?
Oh, I don't know. Not offhand.
Were there other boys with you?
Quite a few, sir, yeah. We shook them off, though. We went up with Gloria and Carol.
Yes, and what did you do then?
We walked around, and then we went back to the cafe, sir.
Did you meet anyone while you were walking around?
I don't remember, sir.
You realize, don't you, why I'm asking you these questions?
Not a clue, sir.
That was a stupid reply, Harris, wasn't it? Don't you think it was stupid?
I don't know, sir.
You realize that I've written down your answers. I shall check on them.
Well, Gloria will tell you we were with her all evening.
That I can believe. But you understand, I shall make it my business to check on her word from other sources. I mean to know where every boy in my school was at the moment Tom Corder was attacked.
But I thought he wasn't attacked, sir.
Did you?
It was in the paper, sir. He denied the whole thing.
Thank you, Harris. I read the report.
Then, sir...
That's all. You can go now.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Come in here, Bri. We can talk. Sir, what do you make of that, then?
Nothing very nice.
Think he can clip us up?
Well, I wouldn't put it past him.
Up to his usual trick of no accusations and get them to commit themselves. Well, he can do what he likes, and he can talk his black in the face, but he won't get yours truly to confess to anything.
I'd offer mine to tell him the truth and be finished.
You had, have you? Well, you're going to stand by me and this Brian boy. We can't have you start squealing now, can we? I've had one up and down with the cowboys before, and don't you forget it. Another black mark on my next school's bolster. First thing we've got to do is find out what that little skunk told him.
Nah, leave it alone, Keith. Let it ride. See what happens.
We'll do what I say, Bri. We'll go and rouse the kid out. We'd better learn the worst, you know. What strikes me is he may not have split the whole thing yet. Not our names, I mean. So it's up to us to make certain he doesn't. Agreed? We'd better start searching for him.
He's not in school, I'm sure of that.
Well then, we'll bunk off to his home and find him. Friday, the old man's late evening. Oh, that's a bonus. Come on, we'll hop on our bikes and get cracking. There'll only be that stepmother of his now.
Alan, unlock the door. Unlock it, I tell you.
Why?
Because I say so. Unlock it. About time, too.
What is it?
You're going out.
Oh, no, Mum. No, please.
Now, don't be so silly.
Please, please, oh, please. How can I make you understand?
You don't have to. Your father will be back any minute. Now, put on your sweater and go out.
I'm ill.
Oh, rubbish. You're acting like a baby.
I'm afraid.
I'll give you some money. You can rarely see that film this time. Here. 3 and 6. Now, get along. I don't want to see you back for at least 2 hours. But when you do come, I expect I'll have things settled. I'm only doing my best for you, dear.
Oh, let me stay.
Oh, well, that's enough of your nonsense. Now get out. I'm only sending you to the pictures.
Oh, Mum, if you only knew...
Can't you take it in that I'm going to try to make things better for you? I've got to have this talk with your father quite alone with nothing to interfere. I'll see to it that he understands how you feel and treats you fairly. But go!
Hello, Alan. Who do you expect? We've been looking everywhere for our little comrade. We have. School didn't seem to be the same happy place without you, boy. We missed you. Oh, still, we found you now, so you can come with us.
Where to?
Wouldn't you like to know, eh? That your bike?
Yes.
Oh, natty little job. All nice and bright and shining. We've got ours, so come on.
Ah, shut up. It's all right, Alan. We're only going for a ride.
Exercise is good for you. You're getting far too weedy for your age.
I'm tired. I don't want to go for a ride.
Oh, you'll like it when you get there. Now then, off we go. Take his arm, Bri. I will his bark. He looks as if he needs a bit of support.
You'll be okay, Alan. He only wants to have a talk with you. I'll see nothing happens. That's why I'm here.
It wasn't me, Bri. I never told my father. Honestly, I didn't.
Lillian?
I'm in here.
Where's Alan? Is he at home? I want to speak to him right now.
He came back, but I've sent him out.
You said... But why?
So he shouldn't be here when I say to you what I mean to say.
What is all this, for heaven's sake? Do you think I haven't got enough on my mind without your temper to add to it?
Alan told me about your speech.
Well?
So you mean to ruin our lives, do you? Although I begged you to keep your mouth shut.
Now, Lillian, I can't discuss...
Oh, yes, you can, and you're going to. Maybe you imagine you're doing something fine and the school authorities will congratulate you. But what about Alan and me? What are people going to think of us if the whole thing comes out?
You? But have you no concern for Alan and his life?
His life? You'll have him in prison before you've done. A nice life you'll arrange for him.
For the love of heaven, let's try to be reasonable. Don't you see that Alan's got to recognize that if he acts against society, society comes back at him?
Not if I could help it. I'd protect him.
There comes a time, my dear, when you can't cover things up with lies. Can't paper over the dirt and the cracks and pretend everything in the house is lovely.
Oh, you. You take a delight in seeing what's bad.
Yes, while you shut your eyes. Oh, don't look. Don't stir anything up. Don't have a thing to do with it. Can't you understand the real villains in any disaster are the people who wouldn't try to prevent it?
And that's all talk.
You think so? What about the 1930s and the millions who wouldn't see the concentration camps? Yes, if they'd seen and protested, there'd have been an end of Hitler.
I can't help the world. My own family, that's what I think about. Why don't you talk about Alan and me instead of talking about the world?
What do you really care for, Alan? You don't give a thing how he turns out. All you've cared for is winning his affection. And if a little contempt goes with it, you wouldn't notice.
And all you care about is theory. You honestly believe you can change that boy's character at this stage and make him behave the way you think he ought? You've left it a bit late, haven't you?
All right. I failed to guide him sufficiently when he was small, and I blame myself. But we're in the present. It's what we do now that matters.
And what do you do? Disgrace the boy. Push us all down and make the town despise us.
You don't begin to understand the first thing about straight thinking.
Don't I? I know what I believe and act accordingly. But you, you're a hypocrite and a prig. Any real father would...
What? Any real father?
There's a proper way for a father to treat a son. A proper way and no argument.
You appall me. Your narrow little collection of rules and conventions appalls me.
Not half as much, I bet, as yours appall me, you high and mighty intellectual, you. Codes of honor and the rest. And meanwhile, you refuse to save your boy.
I'll save him if I can. You think I don't know the prisons are full of Alans? Alans with parents who behave like you?
Oh, talk, talk, talk. He's only as he is because you never cared for him.
Since he's lived with me, I've tried to care for him. Honestly to care. And you frustrated me at every point.
I won't see a father make his son unhappy. A boy should know his father puts him above everything.
Even the law?
Yes. A man should set everything aside for his son and his own family. Even if he loathes them, it's his duty to protect them. They're his own.
Do you know what you're saying?
Of course I do, you schoolmaster. But my opinions don't matter, do they? You think because I'm your wife, you could preach at me as though I were a fourth-form kid. I'll tell you this. There are half a dozen men in the town who'd have me as wife this very day. Men who'd love me without question or criticism. Nothing forces me to stay with you.
Lillian, don't. Stop. Stop before either of us says something there's no going back on. Now, please tell me. Where's Alan? You sent him out. Where is he? Oh.
Mr. Mason.
Yes, Constable, what is it?
May I step inside a moment?
Is there something wrong?
Yes, I'm sorry to tell you, there's been an accident.
An accident?
Your son.
What? Constable, what?
He's had a fall.
His bicycle?
No, sir, not his bike, though he had it with him. He'd gone up, it seems, to the old gravel quarry.
Is he seriously hurt? Tell me.
Well, they can't say yet, sir.
I gave him money to go to the picture.
Where is he? What happened? Please tell me, quickly.
He was seen by a farmhand lying at the bottom of the pit. The man got hold of an ambulance immediately, and the lad's in the cottage hospital now. They asked me to come and fetch you. I've got a car outside.
Get your coat, Lillian.
Yes.
Now I'll wait for you at the front door, sir.
We'll be a few seconds, that's all.
Thought he showed signs of coming round some moments ago. Just wait in here, will you? Doctor thinks he should regain consciousness soon. My office is small, I'm afraid, but please make yourselves as comfortable as you can.
Thank you, sister. Sit down, Lillian, dear.
Oh, if only I hadn't sent him out. If only I hadn't.
Sister, how bad are the injuries, can you tell?
Not yet, Mr. Mason. The doctor thinks his condition is partly due to shock. When he was brought in, he kept on repeating, "Don't, don't." He seemed as though he'd been terrified. I myself heard him say, "I never told him," several times, "don't push me." He was in delirium, of course, poor boy. I must go into the ward now, but I'll be back as soon as I'm free. Mrs. Mason, you'll feel better after a cup of strong tea. I'll get one of the nurses to bring it in.
Sister, how much hope is there? Will he be... Will he be all right?
I can't answer that question. But he's young and in good health, so we can...
Sister, please.
Yes, nurse, I'm coming.
Oh, John, when I remember how he begged me not to send him out, I never thought. I didn't take in how frightened he was. I can see his face of absolute terror, and I forced him to go out. I was only thinking of myself and how angry I was with you.
You couldn't have imagined this would happen.
No, I never guessed boys could be such brutes to each other.
I know.
I did so want to make him love me. But he'll never trust me anymore. Not since I gave him away like I did.
He will. It's the kind of thing he could understand.
I wish the sister would come. I don't know how to bear this weight.
Here's your tea, Mr. Mason. And there's a telephone call for you, Mr. Mason.
Ah.
They're putting it through to here. There it is.
No, thank you. Yes? Who? Oh, yes, Inspector. I see. Yes, thank you. Brian. Oh, yes. Yes, substantially. He's a truthful boy. A decent boy on the whole. I hope this won't jeopardize his future. No, thank you. Yes, pretty badly, I'm afraid. He's still unconscious. We're going to see him now. No, they can't say yet. All right, goodbye, Inspector. Thank you.
What is it?
Brian Wade went to the police station and told the inspector what had happened. Keith Harris was at the back of it. He lost control and Brian couldn't hold him. He pushed Alan over the edge of the quarry.
So now it'll all have to go to court. John...
But it was bound to come out, you know.
If Alan dies, or if he's maimed, I'll be to blame.
Now, we've done enough blaming.
And all the dreadful things I said to you.
Let's bury them, dear, with the ones I said to you.
Oh, I shan't forget them. And you won't either.
No. But maybe in future, we shall be able to see ourselves a little bit through each other's eyes.
I'm so frightened.
Now, try not to be.
But you'll never love me in the same way.
But the change could be an improvement, couldn't it?
Oh, if only they save Alan's life. Oh, John, will they?
I'm sure they will. And perhaps ours too with it.
How do you mean, ours?
No life is ever saved singly. It's always bound up with other lives.
Will you come into the ward now? Your boy is conscious and he's asked for both of you.
Be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.